Loving brothers and sisters, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, all believers and viewers in the world who are attending this service through the internet, in the last session, I told you about the roads in heaven and about the river of the water of life that is the river of the heavenly kingdom. Today, I'll talk to you about the scenes around the river of the water of life and the happy life that we will enjoy on the riverside. Even on this earth, we can see there have been metropolitan cities where there are big rivers. We have Han River in Seoul, Korea. There is Yellow River that flows in China, the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., and the Seine River in Paris, France. Even a small-sized city was usually formed near a river. Because water is a must for human survival, sometimes people call the rivers running through cities a lifeline. Many times they also make parks on the riversides, and people spend leisure time there. God the Father has also made beautiful scenes on the banks of the river of the water of life with many trees. He also made a place where His children could rest peacefully. When I explain to you about these, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be filled with the hope of heaven even more. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the first part of today's passage from Revelation 22:2, it tells us the river of life, water of life flows in the middle of the streets. From this, we can understand that there are roads on either side of the river of the water of life. You already know that everything that God the Father has made has some kind of meaning in it. There are also two reasons why there are roads on either side of the river. The first reason is to let everybody easily find a place where the throne of God is located from anywhere in the heavenly kingdom. Because the river of life, water of life flows out from God's throne and runs through all places of heavenly kingdom, if you just follow the roads on either side of the river, you can reach the place where there is a throne of God. Whether you are in paradise or the first kingdom, second kingdom, or the third kingdom of heaven, if you just follow the roads on the sides of the river of the water of life, you will reach New Jerusalem. For example, there is a national highway that will lead you to the city of Seoul, wherever you are. That's number one national highway. Now, there are many other roads that merge to this highway. These branch-like roads connect to other small cities. Well, there are now expressway as well, though. The second reason why there are roads on the sides of the river of water life is to tell us that just as we can reach the throne of God by following the river of life, we can reach heavenly kingdom by following the word of God, that is the water of life in our lives, and we can also reach the most beautiful place, New Jerusalem. Well, when we go to heaven, we will pass through some gates to go to better dwelling places. Now, how many gates do you think there are? If you are to go to New Jerusalem, how many gates do you need to bypass? How many different levels in faith? That's right, it's 5. Now, the first gate is to enter paradise. To enter the first heavenly kingdom, you must bypass another gate. Like this, in order to enter each different heavenly kingdom, you must bypass their respective gates. How many gates does New Jerusalem itself has? How many did I tell you? That's 12, and they are guarded by angels. So to get to New Jerusalem, you must bypass 5 gates. How many gates do you think you have passed so far? You should know the answer. If you paid attention to my message, you would know where you are heading now in heaven. You should know where you can go if God calls you today. Those at the first and second level of faith might not be able to know, but at least those at the third should know. Some of the members ask me, when their parents pass away, where do they go in heaven? They ask me which place in heaven their parents go. But they should know better than I do because they live together with their parents. I have to ask God in my prayer to know where they are. I have to ask God. Of course, God gives me the answer, but they should know better because they know which level of faith their parents had. Anyway, we can also reach the most beautiful place, New Jerusalem. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. As he said, we have become God's children by believing in Jesus Christ, and at the same time, we have gained the citizenship of heavenly kingdom. But let's think about one thing. When you go to another country, if you just get a visa and buy the airplane ticket, is it all? No, you actually have to get on board the airplane and go to your destination. Likewise, even though we having forgiven of our sins and gained the right of the children of God by believing in Jesus Christ is not all. We have to actually follow the word of the Lord Jesus, who is the way, truth, and life to heavenly kingdom until our life ends on this earth. Our eternal heavenly dwelling place will be decided according to how perfectly we have lived according to the Word of God, the truth on this earth. In the Word of God, that is the truth, there are very clear and easy to recognize signposts guiding us on the straight way to New Jerusalem, just like the traffic signposts of this world. We now have even GPS system in the car, though. They are the words that tells us to do, not to do, keep, or cast off certain things. Those who believe these words completely and obey them will be eligible to get to New Jerusalem, the best dwelling place in heaven, within a short period of time. But some people just ignore these signposts, telling us not to do or to cast off some things, and they get into accidents or get lost. Also, if they just follow the words that tell them do or keep, they can just go straight to the heavenly kingdom, taking the highway. But they do not follow them, but go down alleyway and side streets, and thus waste a lot of time. But those who follow only the word of God, the truth, can very quickly reach the best heavenly dwelling place, New Jerusalem. I hope you will believe in this fact firmly so that you will drive away all temptations that lead you to other ways, and you will only march forward standing on the Word of God. God places the roads on both sides of the river of the water of life to symbolize this kind of meaning for us. He designed it in such a way that we can reach New Jerusalem, which houses God's throne, only if we just follow the river of the water of life. Brothers and sisters, the river of the water of life and the roads on its sides do not come in direct contact with each other, but there is a sand beach between them. The sand here is not made from rocks like on this earth, but they are made of gold and silver. As I told you before, in heaven there is no soil, and very tiny balls of gold and silver will make up the ground of the heavenly kingdom. And on the sides of the river of the water of life are beaches of gold and silver sands.
Even on this earth, very fine sand feels very soft, and when you sit on it, it gives you a very comfortable feeling. And the sand of gold and silver on the banks of the river of the water of life give you much softer and more comfortable feelings than the finest sand on this earth. Sands are all different. In my opinion, the sand in Sahara Desert is the most soft one. It's so beautiful. I've been there, but it wasn't that good, if you say so. I believe you saw just a part of Sahara Desert. Just a part of Sahara Desert. Those who travel from Egypt to Israel along the Mediterranean Sea, you don't know how beautiful it is. The sand in the way to Mount Sinai was not beautiful either. The beach sand somewhere in Greece was beautiful too. So they give you much softer and more comfortable feelings than the finest sand on the earth. Also, the sizes of sands vary from such tiny ones that can be barely be seen to quite coarse ones. No matter how much you roll and play and run on it, there will be no dust getting onto your clothes. Of course, the sand will never go into your eyes and harm you. Well, there is no germ or bacteria. They don't exist at all, so there is no disease in heaven. In the latter part of today's passage, Revelation 22:2 says, on either side of the river was the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. As said, there are trees of life on either side of the river. The fruits of these trees are so big, and there are 12 kinds of fruits. It's not that one tree will bear all 12 kinds of fruits at one time, but there are 12 different kinds of trees of life. It says the trees of life will bear 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And what does this mean? On this earth, different fruits are born in different seasons. And does it mean even in heaven, 12 different kinds of trees of life will bear different fruit respectively each month? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means those fruits will never disappear, hanging on the trees always. It is just an expression to let us easily understand this point. We say we have delicious fruits every season. For example, strawberries in spring, watermelons and muskmelons in summer, and apples and pears in autumn. By saying this, we mean there are always some kind of good fruits in each season, though the kinds of fruits are different. The plants on this earth bear some fruits in their seasons, but soon wither, but it's not so with the plants in heaven. Their leaves are always green, and flowers can bloom all the time, and they can always bear fruit. Therefore, on the trees of life on the banks of the river of the water of life are always bearing their fruits. If anybody takes the fruit from one of these trees, the fruit is regenerated immediately on that spot. We won't have to wait for the next season or next year to come. The Bible said, yielding its fruit every month, meaning that there are always 12 different kinds of fruits on the trees of life. Nowadays, thanks to glass culture, we cannot eat watermelon in winter, but how good it would be if we can eat all kinds of fruit just any time, eating melons and apples in winter, spring, and fall. It'll be good. In heaven, there are trees that bear fruit in every dwelling place. And because these fruits that are born on the trees of life, we call them fruit of life. The 12 different kinds of fruits of life all have different light, size, shape, and taste. I introduced one of them to you in the lecture series on Genesis. It was the fruit of the tree of life that was placed at the center of the Garden of Eden, where the first man Adam and Eve lived. Genesis 2:9 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had the greatest numbers of leaves and fruits. The sizes of these fruits are about as big as melon of this earth. About this size, then, there may be bigger ones too. The sizes of fruit of life and the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil are about the same, but the shape and the colors are distinctively different from each other. The fruit of life has the shape that is like an apple and is a little reddish. It is not completely red, but reddish, giving out beautiful light. But the fruit of the tree of the knowledge is similar to peaches in shape and is pinkish in color. This tree of life in the second heaven and tree of life in the heavenly kingdom are the same kind of tree of life, but the fruit born are a little different in color. Even on this earth, the color of the same apple under the light and that of the same apple without light look different. In the same way, though they are the same fruit, because the difference in the space between the third heaven, the second heaven, the colors look different. Brothers and sisters, again, everything that is provided by God in heaven has meaning in it. The river of the water of life symbolizes the word of life that gives us life. Likewise, the trees of life on the sides of the river of the water of life have meanings too. What kind of meaning do the trees of life carry that are on the riverside of the river of life? First of all, we can see that the Bible likens God's children who live by His word as trees planted by the water. Psalm 1, 2, and 3 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Those of you who love to read on the word of God, you love to meditate on the word day and night, don't you?" It's so sweet. It's even sweeter than honeycomb. So who meditates on his law? That's right. The blessed one. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. And also Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 also says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust in the Lord." You can find the secrets to blessing in both the Old and New Testaments, and now this is the one of them. Those who trust the Lord and those who trust in the Lord. If you call yourself a child of God, the Almighty, then don't you think you have to rely only on God? Those who trust God and whose trust is God will be blessed. You must rely on God no matter what kind of problem you encounter. But those who depend on themselves, the world, and their parents, their wisdom, their idea, and their family, they will not be blessed. They'll not be blessed. The Lord of Lords, God is our Father. You must trust God no matter what it is, big or small. I've been doing it so far. So I'd like to speak to General Administration Office. Please have faith to rely only on God and to trust God. Then your first 2 or 3 months will be tough to manage, but once God sees your faith, God will open and make a way. You must believe it. You should show our faith. I've been emphasizing this since the opening of the church. I've never borrowed money or lent money from anyone of our church. Never. I told you that. I don't ask for money from any of the church members. Why? It's because I should rely on the Lord God. It's been the same since the church's opening. If you rely on the Lord God and depend on Him according to His words, God surely takes the responsibility as you believe. It goes the same for anything. What is the reason God forbids you to borrow from or lend to brothers and sisters in Christ? That's because it will bring troubles. God has forbidden it from the beginning of this church. God told us not to borrow money from brothers and sisters. It's better if you don't do it between parents and children. If you do, there must be problems. Then it will hurt your good relationship. You can trust them or you may even dislike them. Parents and children even accuse each other. It was on a newspaper, was it? 80s? There are so many such incidents between brothers and between family members. So it's better not to borrow or lend in the family. When there is a chance that they cannot pay back, the trouble starts to begin and they even become enemies. Even though they share the same blood, they become enemies. You should not make your family suffer. You must borrow from a bank. You must borrow from a bank. You can't? The bank will not lend you money? Then you must forget to borrow money from anyone. If you are not capable of it, then you must not do it. Why do you try to do something beyond your ability and cause problems to others? A church is a place where members get together and share God's grace together. We come to church to accomplish God's kingdom and go to heaven. We don't come to church to do some business between members. Dating or finding spouse in a church should not happen. We come to church only to share our testimonies, accomplish God's kingdom, and to go to heaven. We worship and pray for that. I ask you a couple of times every year, but there are still some who do that. There were some cases like that. I always told you about those cases from the altar. Then, am I revealing who is a thief or fraud? No. No, I can't. Even our Lord, although He knew Judas Iscariot was stealing, He didn't tell His disciples that Judas was a thief. Well, those swindle make you think that they love the senior pastor so much. They tell you they love the senior pastor and they are loved and recognized by the senior pastor. They trade on my name. They lie as if they often met me. Some of them say like they are seeing and hearing spiritual things, and they make you trust them. Then they begin to deceive you. Because this is a big church, if they secretly do so, we don't know. Even if they are church leaders or elders or senior deaconesses or pastors, I told you not to believe them if they say they are loved by the senior pastor. I've emphasized on it for months, but still many of you didn't listen to me, but were deceived. Also, if they ask for investment for their business and say you can make a big benefit, don't believe them. Why? It's what God said not to do. God said not to do trade money between brothers in faith. So if someone asks you for help, it already proves that he doesn't live in the truth but disobeys God's will. If you help him, you will see damages with him. If he wants to run a business, he must loan money from bank. But why does he give harm to brothers in faith? Such things should not happen. You should not be deceived. You must say, if I don't help when he's in difficulty, am I not so cold-hearted? If you have enough to help him, just give him money. Do not lend, but give it to him. Then there will be nothing to be misunderstood or hurt. If you are well off and you want to help that brother, why don't you just give the money to him? Since the opening of the church, I've been helping many people, but I've never said to pay them back. I just gave them. I just helped those who were in need. I've never asked them to pay it back. In the beginning of our church, although I just graduated the seminary, many senior pastors asked me to help. They said that they had debt for a new church building and asked me to lend some money. They said they would pay it back with some interest. But then I helped them, saying, do not give me any interest. Do not pay this back. I just give this. I've never had it back. If I could give, I gave. Of course, I didn't have enough to give, but because those senior pastors asked, I helped them. Although I was in difficulty because of it, I've never received it back. So, blessed are those who truly rely on the Lord. If you are Christians, you should rely on God and pray to God with faith so that you can receive blessings from God. God said not to trade money between brothers in faith. But because you do it, Satan works and makes you both have difficulties. It is a problem. Now, Jeremiah 17:8 says, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Doesn't it those who trust the Lord and those who trust in the Lord become like this? Likewise, the trees of life on the sides of the river of the word of life symbolize God's children who have reached the kingdom of heaven by taking the water of life, namely God's word. Then why does it say that there are 12 kinds of fruit that are born of these trees? This has two meanings, and the first meaning of the number 12 is all nations. We can see in the Bible that through the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel were formed. Through this, God's kingdom was formed in all nations. Also, through the 12 disciples of the Lord, the gospel was preached to all nations, and people from all nations can be saved and go into heavenly kingdom. God placed the 12 different kinds of trees of life on the riverside of the river of water of life in order to show the meaning that anybody from any nation can become heavenly citizens only if they believe in Jesus Christ and take the word of life as spiritual food. The second meaning of the number 12 is that it is the number of light. It tells us that to those people who lived by the word which is light, God gives eternal life. The trees planted by the water will put their roots to the water to draw water from there and keep their lives. In the same way, those children of light who live by God's word will receive eternal life from God. Therefore, the 12 different kinds of fruits of various shapes and colors on the trees of life symbolize the fruits of life, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of righteousness, which are born when the believers live in the light, the word of word of God. Now, what does it especially mean that by saying, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of nations? In order for a tree to bear a fruit, it first has to grow up. Its branches should grow. Its branches should grow, and they should produce leaves and also bloom with the flowers. Until the tree is matured, it has to absorb nutrients and water from its roots. But for the tree to bear a fruit, it must have the leaves. It's because the outcome of the photosynthesis collectively becomes the fruit of the tree. If you understand this principle of nature, you can understand more easily what it means by saying, "And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Healing means recovering from a very serious disease. Originally, all people from all nations had momentary physical life, but in fact, they were seen as dead because they would have fallen into death because of sins. But if they believe in Jesus Christ, the curse that dictates the waves of sin is death is broken, and they can receive eternal life and be healed. The tree absorbs water through the tree's roots, and the leaves receives the sunshine on the top to make the nutrients within the leaves. This way, the tree keeps its life and bears the fruit. Likewise, the believers from all nations will gain eternal life, and their faith will grow up, and they will bear spiritual fruits through the word of God, which is like spiritual water and sunshine, saying, "And the leaves of the water were for the healing of the nations," means this. These leaves of the tree of life are of dark green color. They have the luster on them, and they are much bigger and wider than leaves on this earth. They do not wither even with the passing of time. They give out green lights forever, and they are placed on the branches of the tree of life in a regular pattern. The trees of life have these leaves and also the fruits of life. When you see these trees on the sides of the river of the water of life, how beautiful it will be. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God once showed me in a vision the scene of the river of the water of life. On either side of the river were so many benches decorated with gold and various jewels, and God's children were sitting on them, having pleasant conversations. I think God showed me a scene in New Jerusalem. God showed me people were talking and smiling so lovely in heaven. And when God's children had a desire to eat from the fruits of the tree of life in their heart, the ministering angels immediately understood the heart of their master and brought the fruits of life in a flower basket. Angels ministering is totally different from the ministering of men. They are so beautiful. I saw in old movies that people were ministering in a palace or something, but how beautifully those angels minister. Of course, not everyone can have personally ministering angels in heavenly kingdom, but it was the scene that God showed me. Just imagine you will sit on a benches along the riverside of the river of the water of life with your dear ones, looking at the river of the water of life, giving out splendid lights, or walking along the road by the trees of life and talk about everything that you didn't have time to talk about on this earth. Don't you become happy just by the thought of it? In the New Jerusalem, when you think in your heart, "Ah, I feel like eating that fruit," then an angel will read your mind, pick the fruit, and serve it in a pretty basket. They will walk softly and approach you behind your back, come close to your shoulder, and offer the fruit to you very politely. They are so beautiful, and their movement are so beautiful as well. But if you go to paradise, there are no ministering angels. You must pick the fruit by yourself. And those who go to the first and the second kingdom of heaven have to order angels. "I want to eat the fruit. Pick it for me." Then angels will obey. But if you go to New Jerusalem, all you have to do is just thinking. Then angels will read your mind and do it for you. It's different like this. The level of happiness is different. And the way angels minister us is different. angels minister only those who go either the third kingdom of heaven and New, or New Jerusalem. Those in the first or second must order angels, and in paradise, angels don't minister. You have to do it for yourself. I'm not sure about those in the third kingdom. God hasn't told me about it, but since God recognizes them as complete children, I believe the angels minister them as well. But again, God didn't tell me about them, so I may not write. Also, you will not just look at the river of the water of life, but you can go in and swim. Even those who do not know how to swim on this earth will be able to swim freely in a different styles like freestyle, breaststroke, backstroke, or butterfly stroke. There are some people who are good at swimming because they learned it, but there are others who are good even though they didn't learn it. I didn't learn how to swim. I didn't learn how to swim, but I don't afraid water. I can stay in the water or sea for long hours or maybe a day. There are members who witnessed it. If we swim long distance, then nobody will beat me, even though they are professional. Why? Because they will get tired. But even though I can't swim fast, I can swim and stay for long, long hours. There are members who witnessed it here. I don't get tired in water. Quite long ago, we could swim together, but I'm not sure we'll be able to spend some time together like that again until the Lord comes back, maybe or maybe not. I learned swimming all by myself. And you know, you watch those animals swim and learn from them. I saw one day that someone was training his dog. He put his dog in the other side of the river or lake and made the dog cross the river. Then the dog had to swim to come to his master. The dog swam with all its strength. Once the dog came out of the water, it wagged its tail and approached its master. I saw dogs swimming not to be drowned. And then I thought to myself, wow, swimming is easy. Even dogs can do it. Then I saw frogs swimming. I saw how they swim. Then I tried to imitate their move. Then I could do it. I could swim. Since I didn't learn it professionally, I don't know how to speed up while swimming, but I can swim at my own pace. At my own pace, swimming in many different styles. That's what I do. When I want to take a rest, then I lie down. Then I look up to the sky and take a rest. This way, I can swim far, far away. You believe me, right? Since you saw me before. But if you go to heaven, everyone can swim. And we will learn how to swim there. Because there are swimming games. So we might have to learn it to win games. You don't need to learn if you wish, but we will live there forever. So don't you think it's better to learn it? And nobody drowns. And we can move very freely in water because there is no pressure in it in heaven. You can't talk whilst diving in the water and in this earth, but in the river of life, a conversation is possible. You can talk to people while diving. And when you want to swim forward in the water, you will feel that something is pushing you forward. You will have such feeling.
된다고 막 밀어준다는 뜻이 아니고 그런 느낌을 받게 된다 이 말입니다.
Moreover, because you won't have any problem with breathing, you can stay in water for a long time like fish without any equipment. When we go into the water to swim, the fish receive us with so much joy and they may even follow us. To swim on this earth, we have changed into swimming suit. And after the swimming, we have to wash our hair and body and have to change into new clothes again. There are so many things to do. But in heaven, the clothes do not absorb the water. So after swimming, the water drops will just roll down of the clothes and we won't have to change the clothes. So when you want to swim, you can just enjoy swimming in the clothes you are wearing at the moment because your clothes won't get wet. Don't you all want to go into this heavenly kingdom which is filled with happiness and joy? Yes, let's all go together. How good it will be since all of you can swim even though you don't know how to swim here. I hope we will all go into New Jerusalem, the most beautiful place and the place with the greatest magnitude of happiness among all heavenly dwelling places. In the next session, I'll tell you about the animals and plants of the heavenly kingdom. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in this session, I told you about the scene around the river of the water of life and the life we will enjoy there. I also explained the meaning of placing the rose on either side of the river. It is to let us easily reach New Jerusalem, which houses God's throne, just by following the rose along the river of life, water of life. Also, it is to let us understand the fact that the way to go into New Jerusalem is only to follow and live by the word of God, which is the water of eternal life. In Revelation, it records many gates, right? And we have to enter those gates to come into New Jerusalem. And it says that we have to clean and wash our robe in order to enter New Jerusalem, right? In other words, we have to sanctify ourselves. Then the robe will be cleansed. As much as we sanctify ourselves, so we will bypass as many gates as possible and enter New Jerusalem, the holy city. We have to diligently wash the robe to go to New Jerusalem. And it's written in Revelation. But sometimes the way to heaven, and especially the way to the better heavenly dwelling places or New Jerusalem, seem to be narrow and difficult. On the contrary, you may feel the way the unbelievers are taking is the wide and easy way with comfort. But our Lord Jesus wants us to take the way to gain life rather than a way that looks better in a physical sense. He said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Even though it may seem that the way you are taking is narrow and difficult, please certainly believe that our Lord is waiting at the end of this road. But please believe that there is New Jerusalem in the end of the way. You won't be saved if you walk the broad way. The narrow gate is to salvation. Now, what does the wide and narrow way mean? The wide gate and broad way symbolize to befriend the world. You don't throw away what God has to throw away. You don't do what God has to do, you to do. You don't keep what God tells you to keep. You do what God tells you not to. You love the world and befriend the world. This is going the wide and broad way. But walking the narrow way is different. You throw away what God tells you to. You keep what God tells you to keep. You don't do what God tells you not to. And you do what God tells you to. You'd endure with perseverance, humble yourself, and don't seek for your own benefit. It seems that you are losing, but no, this is the way of life and salvation. It's the way to meet with the Lord and go to New Jerusalem. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will more urgently march toward New Jerusalem with this faith and greater hope for the heavenly kingdom.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.